This morning, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I think right now we're kind of in between spiritual seasons. The old is we're anxious to see it pass away, but it's still present with us. And we can look in our own lives and we can look on the church scene and we're aware of that. The new is coming by the revelation that is pouring out in this hour through the Word of God. And it's becoming more and more real. But as we're in this transition time, we need two things. We need patience, because it doesn't happen overnight. But we also need to not let ourselves become passive in just waiting for something. Patiently waiting on the Lord, expecting, reaching in to what's new. And I think the example we all look to when we're looking to see what God is doing in the earth is the book of Acts. We look and we realize that when Jesus left, he gave them the Holy Spirit. A whole new age was born during that time. And I think in the church, we've had a lot of attempts to try to copy what we see in the book of Acts. We try to copy forms and patterns. I don't think that works too well. You know, they had a communal style of living in the book of Acts. So we look and say, okay, everybody, let's go out and move into a big house together. Well, we can copy the form and not necessarily have the reality. And what I want to speak to you about this morning, what the Lord has put on my heart, is in the book of Acts, they developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That was the dynamic that was important to pay attention to. That's what created so much in the Spirit. We can copy forms and not grow in our relationship with the Spirit. And what we need to see now in these days of outpouring, just like in the book of Acts, a lot was happening. There were signs, there were wonders, the Spirit was being poured out. We're living in days like that today. But we need to be sure that it's not just looking at where the Spirit is falling and all these great things that are happening. Are we developing a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit in our life? That's what's going to cause this to take root and really be the expression in the earth that God wants. And we look in the book of Acts. Let's turn there. Chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing them with all, as everyone might have need. We can stop right there. I mean, this, you see that you get a sense of what was happening. There was something that changed in people that I don't know if we could grasp how deep this is. You're talking about people letting go of their possessions, selling everything, and just saying, let's just take care of the needs of people. You know, it was a different time and a different place culturally. We can say, well, those were different times than what we're living in. Human nature hasn't changed over the generations. You still had type A personalities that worked real hard and wanted to get rich. You had people that were lazy and didn't want to work at all. Here you have the Spirit doing something in people's hearts where they're not governed by greed anymore. They're not governed by competition. They're saying, okay, everything I have belongs to God. I just give it. Let's just take care of everybody. Reason I read this is they developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit that changed the very dynamics of what made them human, what was important to them. It wasn't that they lived in a different age and they weren't motivated or oppressed by greed like we are. Something important happened on a heart level that was greater than the spirit of the age around them. If you look at Acts, the first chapter, and go through Acts, the fifth chapter, you know, when you read the book of Acts, don't you get the idea it just all happened, like one day this happened, another day that? like a couple months, the book of Acts took place. Between the first and fifth chapter, I've heard it said that 5 years lapsed. So a lot of time is taking place here. What are the people doing in all this time? The spirit that they receive, they're getting to know. And in that deepening relationship, they're changing. It's not that they read some teaching saying, let's all live communally, God wants that. The communal life and giving up the possessions came out of the change of their heart. And we look and say, well, let's just copy what they did. Maybe our heart will be different. No, we need to experience the Spirit the same way they did. And then out of that inner change, our actions are going to change. Our thinking's going to change. If we look at the Holy Spirit and how to develop a deeper relationship, one thing that's very important is this issue of faith. Like everything in God, as our faith increases, the things of His realm become more real. I think as we face our daily challenges and battles, we have enough faith often to, in the Spirit, to make the Word real to us. Remember in John 14, it says, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to bring, what? All things back to remembrance that He has said. And so the Holy Spirit in our lives, we look to Him in the same way. We get in battles, and hopefully we do this. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the promises of God, of the Word of God. And often what we do is we stop there. And then we fight in our own strength, trying to remember the Scriptures, and we fight against the lies and the condemnation or whatever is coming against us. We have faith enough to be reminded of the Word of God, but not enough faith to be led into His presence that's behind the words. And what happened in the book of Acts is the people got to know the presence of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a recall of all the things Jesus said, and then they tried to fight in their own strength. They were dependent on the Holy Spirit to be present in everything they did. We're going to know this reality in a deeper way. Is it a good thing to have the Holy Spirit bring back to your remembrance the word of the Lord? Of course it is. But don't stop there. Take it further, saying, okay, it's not just enough that I know what's right or what God has said about the situation. I need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit involved in this battle that I'm facing. I'm not going to fight this in my own strength and win. It's the Spirit in me that's going to be the authority that fights what's coming against me. Isaiah, one example, and we can turn, you can read there later. It'd be better than turning there right now. But it's Isaiah chapter 37. And this story I've read many times to you. It's one of my favorites. It really illustrates this point. Hezekiah is king of Judah, and they're being assaulted. Or, you know, the Assyrians are coming against them to assault them. The Assyrian army had been wiping out nations, and it's not just a battle that's being set up. From the Assyrians is coming this taunting and intimidation that's coming through. So Hezekiah knows he's outmatched, and he does the smart thing. He goes to Isaiah, the prophet, and says, what are we going to do? Now, here again, he's doing the right thing in going and getting a word from God. Isaiah prophesies, and the Assyrians keep on coming. But the prophecy is that the Assyrians will be defeated. But the taunting and the intimidation continues. And it says, then Hezekiah went before the Lord and cried out to the Lord. And verse in here says, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And then another word comes. And you know the outcome of this battle? The angel of the Lord went into the camp of the enemy, killed 185,000 in one night. And the king was killed. Everything according to God's word. What I want to bring out, the point again is, it took the Spirit moving on Hezekiah to recognize, okay, I'm being battled by intimidation, by fear. What do? Find a word from God. So he goes to the prophet. But it's not done there. It's like it didn't stop there. Why? God could have ended that right after Isaiah prophesied. But there was something left to be done in Hezekiah's heart. He begins to cry out to God. It becomes personal. And that's the issue with the Holy Spirit. It needs to be personal with us. Beyond just knowing the right words from the Lord, we need to know the presence behind those words. And that's what Hezekiah encountered when he cried out to God. In one verse it says, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward, bear fruit upward." When we find presence and we develop a relationship where with the Holy Spirit, it's not enough to know just what's right. It's got to be real. We're taking root downward into the Spirit. And the result of that is we will bear His fruit upward. Okay, one other thing. We're talking about faith. And we need to understand that when faith is just a mental exercise for us, or it's in our own strength, faith is one thing. It's grabbing hold of something. I want this. And we become very intense. And there can be the spirit involved in it. It can be a lot of our own ego, flesh, a lot of self-will. But when it's faith that reaches His presence in the Holy Spirit, it's twofold. It still lays hold of what God has said, but at the same time, it lets go. That sounds contrary, doesn't it? How can you lay hold and let go at the same time? Only in the Spirit. When faith is centered and rooted in the Spirit, it is still aggressive to move in God, but it's totally submissive to let go of your life before God. This issue of obedience in Acts 5:32, it says, "So the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." I'm not going to even turn there, but the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey Him. Now, if we could look at this verse this way, the Holy Spirit, as far as being a reality, given to us where we can experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where it's real in our life and not just a theory. Remember this, the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. And I've too often in church we've made it that. It's a living essence within your life. And it's given to us. The reality is given to us for us to experience as we learn to obey. This thing of obedience, I think, has been largely misunderstood, because on a church level, we learn how to obey as far as doing good works. We learned how to obey whatever creed we have, good doctrine. Now, is there anything wrong with this? Of course not. But you can be following scripture, verse, good works, and still not be following His voice. With the Holy Spirit, it goes beyond just doing what's expected or just doing the right thing. It's listening on a personal level to the voice within your life. And one example, I know I've brought this out to you before, but, you know, when you do this for over 40 years, after a while, you know, you run out of different stories to pull from, so you got to hear repeats. But a prophetess that, you know, has been in my family's life with the Ludwigs and my family, she's passed away years ago, had a very profound influence on my life. In her early years, she was a part of the Latter Rain Revival, signs and wonders and all these great things happening. And I've never forgotten this. It impacted me when I found out that the Lord led her away from all those great things to her house in North Park. He said, "I want you to stay here and wait on me, and I'll bring people to you." And she obeyed. Now, what is remarkable to me is that's not a word you get in church, right? How does church work? You don't give people words to leave. Well, maybe some of you here may have gotten those kind of words. We need you to leave. But church operates on this principle. You collect people, and you keep them in their seats, right? So here's someone that heard a word saying, "You see this great revival that's taking place, all these wonderful things? I want you to go and do something else." If all we hear are good works and all we hear are doctrines, we're not going to hear the voice of the Spirit speak that to us if that's what he wants. That's where the Holy Spirit has got to be personal. The church probably at that time said, what are you doing? Why are you going to your house in North Park? How can you leave this? This is what's happening. No. The Holy Spirit and God's voice is what's always happening. We've got to be true to that. Just like Paul, remember when he was going to go to Jerusalem, and what did the people around him say? Paul, we have perceived that you're going to die. Don't do it. Didn't make sense to them. Paul is this dynamic apostle. We need you. What? You shouldn't die. What did Paul say? Yeah, I understand your concerns, but the voice of God is directing me. I've got to do this. I can't be disobedient to the heavenly vision. All that to say this one important point. Listen to the voice that's in you. And you may say, well, what voice? It's there. You have the Holy Spirit. You know, the early church was no better equipped than we are. What did they have? Faith in Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Same thing we have. A lot of voices trying to affect you. But inside, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have access to the voice of God. And that's what we need to hear. Okay. Turn with me, and this will be our last scripture, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 6 and 7. We want to understand, we want the Holy Spirit to be creative in our lives, and we want to understand what kind of atmosphere can we create for that. In our religious nature, we are often resisting what the Spirit wants to do. We look at our soul life, you look at your flesh, and depending on how honest you want to be, it's pretty much a wilderness, right? You can dress it up any way you want. You can have a vivacious personality. You can do whatever you want to do, but human nature is human nature. Before the presence of God, it's all the same. In Isaiah, and let's start with the last part of verse 6, chapter 35, verse 6. It says, waters will break forth in the wilderness. The scorched land will become a pool. And another word for that in my margin says mirage. Boy, I love that. We look at our lives and we see this mirage. Looks real, but there's nothing there. What does it say it'll become? A pool, and the thirsty ground, springs of water. The Holy Spirit loves to take a desert and turn it into a garden. He loves to create that way. He operates on the principle that what's impossible for us as human beings is possible and highly probable in God. I'll add that part. Problem is, we have trouble with looking at ourselves as a wilderness. And we look at the dryness and we feel like, I got to do something about this. I better plant something. We're so busy trying to work our field and put our puny plants in that we don't realize that God's not asking for that at all. He's not asking that we change ourselves. He's asking that we be honest with who we are, be open to him so that he can create his garden in us. I think too often we're too busy pretending or striving. And we don't see how those two activities, pretending and striving, are working against the very spirit that God has put in our lives. In Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, children of Israel went through the wilderness, and what did God say about it? That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. Did God know what was in their heart when they left Egypt? Sure he did. Why did he test them? Why did he want them humbled? So that they could see what was in their heart. that inner honesty is crucial for giving the Spirit freedom to move in our lives. This thing of pretending again, we don't like to look at it. We think that God looks at us and is displeased with what he sees. He knows the desert that we are. He's not displeased with it. It's his nature to take something that is not, is nothing, and make something out of it. He's always been that way. Scripture talks about he takes what? The foolish to confound the wise, the weak to confound the strong. He's not describing a personality type here. All human nature is foolish. All human nature is weak. It's a matter of how honest you want to be with yourself. And what that scripture is talking about is when we can be honest and not trying to build our flesh up, but like David, be a people after God's own heart and just be open before him, he can create strength where there's weakness. He creates wisdom where it's lacking. This is the atmosphere the Holy Spirit is looking for. And if we're striving to do it in our own strength, what we're saying is, Holy Spirit, you just stay in that box. You stay a doctrine. I'm safe that way. You're safe. Just stay in that box of doctrine where I've put you. I'll take care of this. And we sure do. That religious spirit doesn't change anything, does it? It just makes us more and more miserable. In Mark 9:24, when Jesus was healing someone, he asked if he believed, and he goes, I do believe, help my unbelief. That to me, again, is a verse that describes inner honesty. Do we believe as a people? We sure do. But part of that desert in us is a lot of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Should we hide from it? Pretend it's not there? Should we condemn ourselves over it? No, what did this guy say? Lord, I do believe you, but help me where I don't. And Jesus healed him. Again, being able to admit to where our heart is at. Being willing to see our heart the way God sees us. That atmosphere of clarity is where the Spirit is free to create, move, and manifest the will of God in our lives. I believe the early church had this. We can read about the signs and wonders and say we want to see the same thing today. But we've got to see that same depth of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Spirit. Being open and honest before the Spirit. As that deepens, we're going to see again in this hour the expression that God wants. It's not going to be temporary. It's not going to be something that we've seen in the past, starts out alive, becomes a denomination. I think we're in a different hour. I think this new season is not religious in nature. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of Spirit. It's going to be in and out of the church structure as we've defined it. So as we give ourselves to the relationship that he wants, we're going to see it unfold more and more, and I think a lot quicker than we've seen in the past. Amen.